Well, good morning to you and welcome back to the God School. For those of you who have been with us for some time, bear with me for a moment. To those who might be listening for the first time, searching for a name for this source of teaching. We didn't name it by a particular church. We didn't name it by a particular denomination. But we called it the God School, and that, by the understanding that what God is looking for is faith, and there's no controversy. The Word declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it is the purpose and intention here at the God School to put God on display, because when we can begin to grasp who it is that is being described from cover to cover in this which we call the Bible, faith comes. And as we will read much later on in this study of the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, we called it the God School. Now, we're studying in the book of Hebrews. Last week, the title was Hebrews 1, God describing Jesus. And we got to the end of the second verse. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. I want to continue in this description that I have every confidence wherein God is describing His Son. And verse 3 reads in the King James Version, who being the brightness of His glory, that is the outraying of His glory. In that first chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, and we beheld His glory. You want to know what the glory of God is? It's Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. It goes on to say, and the express image of his person. Dr. Scott used to say it's the proof coin of God's nature. Also going back to that first chapter of John, it says, no man has seen God, but Christ has declared him. The word is exegete. It's the word from which we get our word exegesis. It means to remove from behind a curtain and put on display. We're talking about Jesus. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. You know, there is a school of thought regarding God in the Christian frame, which takes to extreme the doctrine of predestination, wherein they look at God as being the great clockmaker, wherein he winds up the clock and then just lets it run out. It's all done. And they would take this passage upholding all things by the word of his power to be a passive statement. That is, letting it go. That is, just letting it go. But it's not passive, but active in holding this word, upholding all things together. Romans, probably one of the most famous passages in scriptures, in the scripture, is Romans 8:28. Wherein it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Today is not a day where I am declaring myself to be the great translator of the Bible. But I do declare myself to be a disciplined learner of Scripture. Not only taught by a man who now has passed into heaven for more than 11 years, thank God I still have many recordings of his teaching. I believe one of the great gifts of God to the church, Dr. Gene Scott, who first introduced what I have every confidence is the right translation, wherein it should read that God enters into all things to work his good, that is, to synergize. He brings all things together for his good. Not everything that we confront in this life is good. I have to tell you something. For a couple of weeks, since I don't know if this is the source, but since I've decided to take on this teaching in Hebrews, my back went out. And, you know, even as I'm talking right now, I'm going through the pain of it. And I'm not telling you that for the sympathy, but I'm telling you, I don't think the back pain is from God, but I have to tell you also that the trouble from the back pain has not driven me away from God, wherein he promised to heal me, but has driven me further into God by faith. This upholding all things by the word of his power is an active description of Jesus. We could go further on in this book of Hebrews to the 7th chapter. The 25th verse, speaking again of Jesus, it says, where he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he, Jesus, ever liveth to make intercession. We've taught on this before, but it is where he makes complete forever, makes entirely through all time. He fills up all that is lacking in us. This is Jesus Christ. When we, as we continue, it says, when he had by himself purged our sins, now again, as I began this series speaking as a pastor of whom it is said of God in the fourth chapter of Ephesians that a pastor is a gift and a pastor teacher is a gift from God to edify the church. As I continue through God's grace to dig into this word of his, the King James translates, and he had by himself purged our sins. I've for years been taught it, for years have taught it, and preached it by himself. He didn't need any help. Purged our sins. Again, folks, I'm not trying to make Greek speakers out of any of us. But the more I am exposed to the original language of the New Testament, the greater knowledge, and through knowledge, understanding, and through understanding, joy that I have, the more excitement I have about talking about Jesus. Now, understand, I'd have you understand this, that in 1604 through 1610, those who translated the King James Bibles, the manuscripts available to them were limited. That which was available to William Tyndale when he first translated the Bible into the English language, his access to manuscripts, his access to all the nuances of that language in which God chose to first write this, which we call the New Testament, in what they had available was somewhat limited. When he had by himself purged our sins. Let me share a literal translation of those few words in the Greek through English. It says, through himself the purification of sins having made. Well, Don, are you saying that the King James is incorrect? I am not saying that. Now, listen up. I hope, as Dr. Scott used to dig into deeper things, used to say, I hope I'm not boring you. Listen. So, if we go to a King James concordance, Strong's, they would take us to a Greek word being translated here, purged, they'd take us to a Greek word, katharismos. And its first definition is a cleansing. It says a cleansing, a purifying, a purification, literal, ceremonial, or moral. Or metaphorically, expiation. A cognate of, and this would be 2512 in your Strong's Concordance, katharismos, a masculine noun derived from Strong's 2511, katharizo, to purge. So we have katharismos, a noun, developing from the verb to purge, in this word help studies that I have. It goes on to say purification, which results from God removing undesirable admixtures. Parenthetically, eliminating impurities. That's 2512, katharismos. If we go to Strong's 2511, the source of katharismos, katharizo, it means, it's a verb, to cleanse, to make clean, literally, ceremonially, or spiritually, according to the context. Twenty-five-eleven means to make pure clean by removing all admixture, and then they go in parenthetically and they say intermingling of filth. And they would take you to a cognate, Strong's 2513, katharos, it's an adjective. We started out with the noun, which came with the noun katharismos, which came from the verb katharizo, and now we have the adjective, which is related to the activity of the verb on the object, the noun, katharos. It means, it's a primitive word, properly, without admixture, purged, hence clean. Because unmixed, without undesirable elements, figuratively, spiritually clean, because purged, they say parenthetically, purified by God, and ultimately, they would give you an example, free from the contaminating, soiling influences of sin. Now, that's a lot of words. to describe what Jesus by himself did. Now, I'm going to take it one step further. I have no argument with the translation when he had by himself purged our sins. I have no argument, but something even greater is being described here than what's contained in this translation of the King, by this translation in the King James Bible. And the Strong's Concordance doesn't go far enough. They would tell you this word translated purged is katharismos. When, in fact, the Greek word is katharismon. Well, you say, Don, about that. You know, what does that have to do? Look. God is helping me. I am no grammar. You know, I had some. Well, I'm gonna censor my words here. I had somebody send a comment through the God School last week and said, in essence, you know, tell me what degrees you have and from where and who ordained you. What, in other words, what denomination are you ordained in? Fool! Like Paul, my answer is not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Now listen. Strong's Concordance gives you the Greek word for purged, being translated purged, katharismos. And this word, katharismos, in the grammar is genitive, masculine, singular. As I'm speaking, I want to point out that this improper understanding of the Greek word is a source for leading many in the church astray, thinking somehow or other they have to clean themselves up. The verse says that Jesus by himself purged. That should be enough. But if you go and you study and you look at this word katharismos, it's in the genitive. The genitive is that which is generated. And therefore, saints of God, you gotta clean yourself up. But that's not the word in the Greek. The word being used in the Greek, which you cannot find in your Strong's Concordance because it does not go into all the nuances found in the Greek language and the Greek grammar. The word in the original is katharismon. Now listen. It is a noun in the accusative masculine singular. The genitive is that which is produced from inside. It's the source. The accusative is that which is being done unto, outside the source. I hope that hits you like it hit me. And to take it one step further, going back to that, well, let's just continue. I mean, if we're going to continue in the Greek and the nuances of the Greek, if you go to the concordance where it says, when he had, it would take you to a Greek word, poio. And it means to make or to do. And it's correct. Jesus did this. But in the plethora of manuscripts that we have today, the word is poisomenos. It goes beyond just to make. It goes beyond to a point that tells us that this verb is in the middle voice. Which means that when, and this is not a part of speech that we have in English. I know you at the God School have heard this over and over. But the point is so significant. And that it leaves out some of the understanding that was made available through the Greek declaration of God's word. Because when we understand that through himself, that is Jesus, the purification of sins, of our sins, having made poisomenos, middle voice, he did it for himself. Much fretting in this Christian walk could be eliminated, by bringing together the words found in Ephesians 1:4, accordingly, he chose, exelexitos, middle voice, speaking of God, he chose for himself. Jesus in the Gospel of John says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Understand, children of God, as we are confronted every day by the flesh and the shortcomings thereof, which might cause trembling, thinking we might be out of God's will, God chose us. He started it. He did it for himself. He is going to finish it. The last words of Jesus Christ on the cross were, "It is finished." Do we see the manifestation of all that Christ did for us? Not yet. Oh, to use that expression, in fact, I think we used it last week. Already, not yet. That's why that word translated wait patiently or patience or patient, which should be endure, or should be translated endure, is found so often throughout God's word. Understand the source of your calling. You didn't, and I read this morning, and I hate the perversion of it. You didn't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You came to an understanding that in Christ Jesus, God accepted you. Better put, we didn't make Jesus Christ, or we didn't accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We come to the understanding that he, in Christ Jesus, has accepted us. Through himself, the purification of our sins, having made He did it. Jesus, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the last of these seven things that God tells us about Christ in this second and third verses of Hebrews chapter 1, it says, and sat down. You sit down when the job's finished. And where did he sit? He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to draw today's teaching to a conclusion. And I want to do it out of one of those books which some who came before us in the church caused to be removed from that which was called for centuries and centuries and centuries God's Word, the collection is called the Apocrypha. This particular book is the book of Ecclesiasticus. That word, Ecclesiasticus, comes, its root is ecclesia in the New Testament. Ecclesia is translated church. It means outcalled ones. Ecclesiasticus means that which belongs to the outcalled ones. It's often referred to as the church's book. It was the most oft used book for the first 200 years of the New Testament church. Its original name was The Wisdom of Jesus, Son of Sirach. It got its second name, Ecclesiasticus, because it was so often used by the church. They said this is the church's book. It's given that name. And wherein it says, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The Greek word being translated is megalosomoni. Megalosomi. Sorry, I told you I'm not a Greek expert. You know, a scholar is not somebody who knows everything, I was once told, but a scholar is one who knows where to find everything. Trying to be scholarly in this approach. I don't want to be called a scholar. I don't know everything. I share with you that which I also received. The Greek word megalosomoni, somo, so me. The word means greatness. Figuratively, it's speaking of the divinity of God himself. And we find that word contained in this book of Ecclesiasticus. We find it in the second chapter. We find it in the 18th verse. That says, Let's go to the 17th verse first. They that fear the Lord will prepare their hearts and humble their souls in his sight, saying, we will fall into the hands of the Lord and not into the hands of men. For as his majesty is, same word found in that third verse of Hebrews 1. For as his majesty is, so is his mercy. God has called you. God has chosen us. Can you, with the heart, receive this truth, and with the mind agree with this truth, and with the mouth proclaim to the glory of God that he has done it? If you do, that's faith. And it, above all other expressions in this human condition, is what pleases God. That's the God School for today.